Before we begin, it is good to remind anyone who hears or might listen to this recording what it is that we believe here at Daleville Christian Church in Daleville, Indiana. And we're reading from Ephesians, the 4th chapter, the 22nd to the 24th verses, where it says, "You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." This is what we believe at Daleville Christian Church, and that directly from God's Word. Now, the reading for today's message is from the Gospel of Matthew, in the 12th chapter, verses 22 through 29. Then they brought him, that is, they brought to Jesus, they brought him a demon-possessed man who was blind and mute. And Jesus healed him so that he could both talk and see. All the people were astonished and said, "Could this be the son of David?" But when the Pharisees heard this, they said, "It is only by Beelzebub, the prince of demons, that this fellow drives out demons." Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and every city or household divided against itself will not stand. If Satan drives out Satan, he's divided against himself. How then can his kingdom stand? And if I drive out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your people drive them out? So then they will be your judges. But if I drive out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or again, how can anyone enter a strong man's house and carry off his possessions unless he first ties up the strong man? Then he can rob his house." May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. Let's notice some basics in today's gospel reading. The principal participants in this historic moment are Jesus, a demon-possessed man, and some Pharisees. The first 16 words really tell the whole thing. They brought him a demon-possessed man who was blind and mute, and Jesus healed him. The Pharisees saw this. They saw it, and they never doubted that it happened, just as the Bible has described it. However, the Pharisees were not prepared to believe that the Messiah, the Son of David, had come. That's what the crowd were saying. This is the Son of David, right? Now, the Pharisees there were thinking that Jesus was working with the prince of demons to drive out demons. And Jesus gave them something to think about. But let's notice, there are powers at work here. Powers for evil and powers for good. Healing is taking place. What power is at work? Or, as the Pharisees suggest, which power is at work? There is a power that makes sick or unclean or distressed or diseased or unfit in body or unfit in mind, and that is stated as the power of Beelzebub. More on this later. Jesus is saying there's another power at work, and the power that Jesus brings is the power of the kingdom of God, and the power of the kingdom of God is greater than the power of Beelzebub. Are we clear on that? The power that Jesus brings is the power of the kingdom of God, and the power of the kingdom of God is greater than the power of Beelzebub. This was crystal clear to Jesus, and it was clear to Jesus' audience. The situation was clear to the Pharisees also. The Pharisees knew there was a power of the kingdom of God, and they knew there was a power of Beelzebub. What the Pharisees disagreed about is which power Jesus was wielding. The only question for the Pharisees to themselves was, which power is Jesus using? Now, fast forward to the present day. Most people, even most followers of Jesus or believers in Jesus, do not believe there is a power of Beelzebub. And I'm here to tell you, there is a power of Beelzebub. I'm not sure we have to call it the power of Beelzebub. Jesus is just using the phrase the Pharisees used. The name Beelzebub, or Beelzebul, has several meanings. The name is associated with the foreign god, Baal. The god Baal was one of the first apostasies committed by Israel in the Promised Land. A god other than the Lord God was worshipped by those living in Israel, and this worship was forbidden, and this worship was condemned from the beginning and then by the prophets. But the people still went after the Baals. And I think the sermon notes have a number of those references listed there for you. One of the associations of the name Beelzebub, or Beelzebub, is with the prince of demons. Jesus is accused of wielding power over demons because he's already working with their prince. Jesus makes the case that if that were true, he'd be undoing his own work, which isn't true. Jesus is destroying the work of Satan because he has the power of God as the Messiah, the Son of God. The important point is the one we've already noted. There is a power that was making people suffer, and there was a power that relieved the suffering. I'm not the only one who believes that. Jesus knew it. The apostles knew it. Even Jesus' opponents knew what I'm telling you is true. There's a power that makes people suffer, and there's a power that relieves suffering. And the Bible tells us the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. So Jesus declared the program that God had outlined for Jesus to bring. It's in the fourth chapter of the Gospel of Luke, and you'll find it in the prophet Isaiah chapter 61. Jesus declared good news for the poor, restoring sight to the blind, release for the captives, and Isaiah's actual phrase, release from darkness for the captives. Bringing the kingdom of God was proclaiming and healing. That's what Luke 8:9 says. Jesus' first announcements about the work he was doing involved restoring sight to the blind and releasing those who were bound. One poor woman that Jesus declared free, we looked at her, I think, last time, a poor woman that Jesus declared free was, as Jesus described her, bound by Satan. The Pharisees were in agreement. This suffering man that we read about just a moment ago was suffering from a demon or demons. Demons were evil. And I'm not going to take a lot of time telling you about and discussing with you how it was universally accepted that demons in the ancient world, we think differently now. The truth behind whatever name you want to give this suffering is this: it is a power opposed to God. It's a power opposed to God. Whatever you want to call it, there's a power in the world opposed to God. A power at work in the world opposed to God. But let me put this in terms of illness. There have been many theories in the past that illness is simply the absence of health. That's baloney, or we used to say over home, that's hogwash. Germs, bacteria, disease are real and active agents to make you sick. You and I have white blood cells for the purpose of fighting and destroying infective and harmful agents to fight germs. But let me mention those words again. Your white blood cells are supposed to fight. They fight for you to stay well. And if the white blood cells get overwhelmed, they continue to fight. Often the doctor and the doctor's medicine are brought in to help your body win the fight. It is no different in the spiritual world. It is no different in the spiritual world. I'm going to say that again and let you think on that for a moment. It is the same in the spiritual world. There is a fight. Just as there is a fight for the good of your body, there is a spiritual battle for the good of your soul. Just because we start talking about spiritual things and religion doesn't mean everything is all smiles and sunshine. There are forces and people who are at war with God. There are forces and people who are at war with God. There are spiritual forces opposed to God. Forces and people at war with the Lord Almighty. We call that force Satan. And the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. We've looked at the blind that Jesus restored sight to. We've looked at people who have been freed because they were bound. That's how the Bible describes these people. We probably would have described these very same people as sick or diseased or suffering a certain type of illness. Jesus declared them free. Jesus declared them released. Jesus declared them cleansed. Jesus made spiritual declarations about these people. And this work was what Jesus saw the Messiah's work to be when Messiah came to bring the kingdom of God. We read it today, Matthew 12, 28. If it is by the Spirit of God that I drive out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. This was last week's topic. It's available on the church's website. You can hear it. Today, our focus is this: Jesus destroying the devil's work. There are several scriptures we could focus on. I have a chart in the sermon notes that lists for you Satan's works. Last time we talked about Satan's best tool, and Satan's best tool is the lie. You will see listed among Satan's works false accusation, deception, misquoting the Bible, slandering. Notice what else Satan has in his arsenal to fight with: binding, possessing, hindering, imprisoning, bringing disease, afflicting. And what have we been talking about all this year? Jesus declared the program that God had outlined for Jesus to bring: good news for the poor, restoring sight to the blind, release for the captives, release from darkness for the captives. Bringing the kingdom of God was proclaiming and healing. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Now, Jesus' people, the Jews, had always believed that the powers of evil would be defeated. But that was always a hope for the future. That was always going to be something that happened in the future. Jesus declared that it was today. Today is the day. In your hearing of the declaration, the defeat of evil would be in Jesus' work. It starts today. I mentioned last time I've been reading a book of testimonies of those who, like the woman Jesus encountered that we looked at, even today, people who find spiritual relief say that they feel liberated, they feel freed, they feel healed, they feel released. Hear their words now from the book entitled Set Free. Remember, these are words of adults who were abused as children. The horrid offenses committed against us when we were children became heavy burdens, weighing us down like an anchor. They filled us with anger, rage, bitterness, and resentment. Burdens stored in our hearts. Accepting God's forgiveness freed us from our past. Freed us from our past. While preparing us for a new future. We are renewed daily through God's continual forgiveness. Release happens at many different levels, and I'm still quoting here. Release happens at many different levels. Releasing is a decision to give up anger and resentment. We cannot do this on our own. Satan uses our desires for revenge to deceive us and gain entrance into our lives. We must trust and obey the Lord, and through Christ Jesus, we can control our responses. Another one wrote, God's healing in my life has changed my relationships with the family. I'm a better wife and mother because I'm not bogged down with pain and shame as a victim. I'll always be a sinner in need of Jesus, but my new identity in Christ frees me to be the person the Lord designed me to be. My new identity in Christ frees me to be the person the Lord designed me to be. The defeat of evil done to these people, the defeat of evil visited upon these people through Jesus Christ, they are victorious. The light of the world shines in the darkness for them. The light of life, Jesus Christ, shines in the darkness and shined in the darkness of their life. And now they can walk in the light. The work that Satan wrought has been undone in and through Jesus Christ. I'll read again 1 John 3:8. Here's the whole verse. The one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. Jesus came to bring the kingdom, to bring life, and bring it in abundance.